And now we're going to turn to Senator Spider, who ran a phenomenal election campaign and managed to come into power with quite a mandate a couple of years back. Spider, what do you have to say to the people of SF-Zero?
I'd first like to thank you, Loki, for organizing this. I'd like to thank you, all fellow senators, for attending. And thank you, SF-Zero, for listening. I hope this will be an excellent opportunity to discuss the issues facing us today and to be of use to the larger community. I do agree that we as senators have a responsibility to help advance the game and help its players, and I hope that this is the first of many steps in doing so. So my name is Spider. I can also be pronounced Spider-Ease, Dare, Spider, a variety of other ways. First joined SF-Zero during Glasnost, the second era of SF-Zero, having discovered it through the help of Pirate Monkey, most famed and esteemed player from Impossible Exchange, the first era. I was immediately taken by the idea of the site and the community, but it took me a few months before I really felt like I was part of it and became integrated into it. And because of that, I've always felt that it's really important to communicate with new players and to bring them into the community, to encourage them to engage in the social aspect of the game. That I was elected to the SF-Zero Senate on October 21st, 2007. I'm the chairman of the Science and Technology Committee and have developed several tools such as the SF-Zero Monitor and other ones which are soon to be released. I am a strong supporter of science, including mad science, and have a particular attachment for robots and for mutant kittens. I think that SF-Zero is a fantastic and amazing community of people. I'm impressed and surprised by its diversity, that it encourages some of the best things that we aspire to. Creativity, exploration, adventure, that all of these things are the essence of drive. And it's no coincidence that I continue to use the word community, that I think one of the best strengths of SF-Zero is our ability as a community of people to support each other in that endeavor and to grow and to create. One thing before I finish that I would like to mention, take this opportunity to say that some of you may know that SF-Zero, the donations to SF-Zero have not been covering the server costs for most of its existence, particularly the last several months. I think it's really important to make sure that SF-Zero is financially sustainable and so that it can continue into the future. I've signed up for a recurring monthly donation in order to help ensure that the site's costs are covered each month. And if you can, I do encourage anyone who can to do the same. This clearly shouldn't keep anyone from playing the game. I think that the most important things about it are that focus on the game itself and tasking. But I do want to encourage those of you who can help in this other way to do so. So in conclusion, I think that SF-Zero is a strong vision for the future, one of a community where we encourage and support each other to greater heights and greater adventures. That this is one of the most amazing groups of people that I have ever discovered, and I'm honored to be among your company. I continue to seek the support of SF-Zero as we move forward and hope that I can continue to help SF-Zero be an excellent place for people to explore and create new possibilities. Thank you.
We've had a number of incredibly important topics come up throughout the last couple of years when campaigns are run. You have a minute and a half, and there will be a 30-second rebuttal period. Senator Spider, where do you stand on the important issues?
Well, I guess I'd fully first like to respond to the issue of broccoli, that I fully support everyone's individual right to eat broccoli or not eat broccoli. I think it's important to maintain individual liberties, even for things we might not agree with. That said, I don't want to weasel out of giving a direct answer to the question. I personally enjoy broccoli. I think if you bake it with olive oil, garlic, a little salt and pepper, it comes out crisp and delicious, nutritious and healthy, quite tasty. But that said, again, I don't feel any need to impose my view on others, that broccoli is not for everyone, and people have the right to make their own choices. I stand by that position. I feel similarly on Hills. That I am a big supporter of rights for sentient robots, that I believe that the biological versus silicon origin of thought is not a good basis for discrimination, that I think our fear of robots should not keep us from addressing their basic rights, that as they become a larger part of our lives, we need to respect them as equals in order to move forward into the future together, and that if there is a need to prevent them from taking over the world, that those same constraints must be in place to keep humans from taking over the world. that discriminating against them purely on the basis of the their constructed nature or the origin of their thought is, in my opinion, unethical. So thank you.
If you have a rebuttal, we'll go ahead and do a sweep. Spider, any rebuttal?
No rebuttal. I'd just like to say that I certainly support kittens. That I particularly like support for the diversity that's involved in both hills and non-hills. Yeah.
What's your policy when it comes to sock puppets? Should sock puppets vote? Should sock puppets task? What's your policy regarding multiplayer characters?
Okay. I certainly have no problem with people playing characters on the site. I think that's a very interesting way to play and can help contribute to the narrative. I'm not, however, a big supporter of sock puppets, but I do recognize that they are a part of the game. I don't think that's likely to change. So I think what I'd like to do is encourage that they be used with caution and restraint, that when they contribute to the site and people's enjoyment or the story or the narrative, then I think they can be a force for good. But my main worry is essentially how easy it is, almost unintentionally, to take advantage of having multiple characters. It causes me some concern when I see someone posting Praxis both as their main character with a sock puppet as a collaborator. We've seen, for example, from Lincoln's cheat task that there's potential for using additional characters to sign up for additional tasks. Especially now that voting points are limited, I think that voting using sock puppets, again, which can happen unintentionally, is a potential worry in terms of vote inflation. And we've seen examples, several examples in the past, where sock puppets have been used to cause problems for perfectly good tasks, whether by voting or flagging. I think choosing which character you might be tasking it with is fine. In an interesting creative aspect of the game, the villain had multiple characters. Doc Harmon's transformation to Toycer, I thought was interesting. But so I would encourage people to think along those lines rather than trying to simultaneously take credit or use multiple characters using stock puppets.
Question number four. A character by the name of Squibbs, who claims to have taken the drive of another innocent player hostage. My question to you, Senators, is what is your strategy for resolving this hostage situation? Spider, what's your take on the whole issue?
Yes, I agree strongly with Senator Dark Aardvark that I think Squibbs' campaign is one of fear, not of effort, not of drive, that we cannot give in to Squibbs' terrorist threats. It's an unsustainable policy. That even if we thought that we could somehow trust him to keep his word and return Toycer's drive unharmed, that future puppets could hold us hostage for anything, and that would be an unsustainable situation to be in. Should Squibbs somehow be elected, I would certainly call for a vote to censure and remove him from the Senate. And I would propose instead that rather than giving in to Squibbs' terrorist threats, that we bring together a crack team of SF-Zero players to infiltrate his hideout and rescue Toycer's drive.
Yes.
By launching such a strike force, we have the best chance of rescuing it without giving in to terrorist demands and showing that we are strong against people who will attempt to use such tactics. I call upon all nearby SF-Zeroers and all good-hearted SF-Zeroers to take part and join this force.
And Senator Spider, any further comments? You seem to have done quite a job at winning over the rest of the Senate.
No, I'd just like to thank my fellow senators for joining me in this.
On to question five. When you're taking it to the limit, how far is too far? Are there tasks that shouldn't be completed? Are there tasks that shouldn't be approved? Are there things that you would not do for the game? Senator Spider, what do you think? Is it possible to go too far?
I do. I think that so far we've been fortunate in that the people of SF-Zero have not gone too far, and that they've been very good and respectful in their tasking. I think that there's a phrase that said at the beginning of most games of Journey to the End of the Night, that this is a game that takes place in the real world, and as such, it does not provide you immunity or exception from the laws of the real world, whether those are physical laws or governmental laws. And I think that something similar is true here, that while this is a game, and certain things are more acceptable in a game than they would be in other places, that playing SF-Zero certainly doesn't provide you immunity from the same ethical concerns that you would have in the rest of your lives. And so I think that, at least in my opinion, that line comes somewhere around causing someone actual harm, that I think it's okay and it's sometimes even necessary to make people uncomfortable or to conform. Sometimes that's the only way to give them something new, a new experience, a new awareness. But that I do believe that something that would be considered actual harm, whether that's physical or mental harm, is a boundary that I think would be going to.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Spider. Next question. The question is basically, how do we bring people to SF-Zero? And once we've brought them to the game, how do we encourage them to stay? And once we've convinced them to stay, how do we get them to task in a way that brings us pleasure? Spider, what are your thoughts?
I think of my thoughts have already been said by my esteemed colleagues. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke so far. That I think that the points about allowing for different ways of play, making sure to encourage new players gently rather than sort of harshly judging the tasks that they do, that all of us, I think, have had tasks, particularly at the beginning of our experience on SF-Zero, that were less well done than we would do now, or than we have grown into doing. So I think I guess I'll simply extend upon that a little bit by saying that I think it's a big part of this is helping people understand the nature of the site. That it may be true that some people who come and begin tasking, it turns out, are less interested in this. But that for those who are, I think that they respond really well to essentially community invitation. That this is one really effective way of doing this is commenting on their tasks, saying what it was that you were interested in it, and showing them other examples of tasks that they might enjoy and might see as inspiration. I think that this is a really good method and has worked very well. I guess I have one final comment, which is you mentioned essentially how do we get them to task the way we want them to? And I would turn that around a little bit and say that I think that there are, in fact, a variety of different kinds of tasking. You know, you can imagine many of the different players, you know, even in this senatorial debate, play sort of very fairly different kinds of SF-Zero games. And so I think I would encourage people to engage with new players and bring them in, but that anyone who is excited and who is brought into SF-Zero, I think will bring with them an interesting style of play, and that we should encourage that.
Now the question that I think everyone's been chomping at the bit for. Imagine that you've suddenly been given a magic wand, and you're allowed to design the next era and to remake the game however you like. What are you going to do with that power? Senator Spider, I'm sure you've got a lot of thoughts about this topic.
I do. I had some trouble trying to organize them, but I think they come down to a couple of things. The first, so we've been talking a little bit about the tasks that are available to you at the beginning, and I think, in fact, this actually applies to tasks available as you go higher, that there's an idea, essentially, that restrictions breed creativity, that by having only certain things you can do, that encourages you to come up with creative ways to do them. And in particular, I think that one of the limits that I thought was interesting and a good benefit for the game was the specific groups that were required in order to sign up for a task, the trajectories of desire, that they encourage a certain degree of collaboration with other groups in order to get the abilities that, or to sign up for the tasks that you like. I'd also like to see more, essentially, abilities unlocked as you go higher, that we've mentioned this before, that I think this could tie in nicely with having, essentially, an ability to sign up for an additional trajectory of desire with each level, thus granting you not only higher level tasks, but a greater variety of types of tasks. One other thing that I think that was toyed with at the beginning of this era was the idea of more community involvement in task approval, and that I thought that this was a very good idea, one that I think could go further by a combination of two things. One, by making the submitted but unapproved tasks more visible. It could be done simply by having a links a link on the sidebar, but basically making it so that it is easy to find and see these, that it's not only the experienced players who seek them out and comment upon them and bring other people to them. And so using the, and then second, using the interested in signing up for this task as a way of essentially getting tasks to a level where they are approved and available to be signed up for. A couple of sort of miscellaneous technical ideas that I think might be helpful include a multi-photo uploader to upload more than one picture at a time. So if this is not done, I might just release the code that I have in order to provide this ability. Notifications on tasks and praxis that you're following. And finally, the ability to level zero tasks, essentially officially. That is that you can sign up for them, they'll show up in the normal praxis, but that you indicated that you're doing them not for score or for votes, but essentially just to show something interesting. But that said, I should yield my time to the rest of the Senate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Spider. We'll do a quick round of rebuttals if anyone has any. Senator Spider?
I guess I just maybe have one more thing to add, which is the thought to get people thinking about the theme of the new era, that I think the theme is important and something that can really drive tasking. Situationalist theory, I think, has been very commonly employed in past eras. One thought, given what we've been talking about, sort of like the phrase revolution within everyone's reach, this idea of a community-oriented progression through the game, allowing people to discover things, to change things about SF-Zero and themselves.
Next question comes from Susie Durkins, our esteemed player in Mexico City. And Susie says...
Citizen Susie Durkins here. Senators, I would like to ask your opinion about the accusation that SF-Zero promotes schizophrenia. And also, I would like to ask Senator Spider about when we can expect to see that training and certification program for good keepers implemented. Thanks. Hugs all around.
Senator Spider, the person I think who has done more than anyone else in this game to turn good kissing into a respected academic discipline, would you like to respond?
Certainly. Regarding schizophrenia, as chair of the Science and Technology Committee, I, of course, strongly support evidence-based governance, and thus far I've seen no evidence to support this, particularly given Pixie's excellent point about the difference between correlation versus causation. Indeed, I would point out that many psychologists have done some research indicating that having multiple different outlets for your personality can help you be more psychologically healthy. I believe on the theory that essentially when you're having trouble, for example, at work, you can still take solace in the fact that you're a good parent or a good sister or a good SF-Zero player. So until I see more hard evidence suggesting a causal link, I don't think further action is needed at this time. So on the Kisser program, that I am at least 30% serious about this, and that I think it's possible to find instructors by first seeking out people who are self-diagnosed good kissers, and if we wanted to be more quantitative about it, then we could take a selection of people and ask them to rate each of those potential instructors. And while we might not end up with the absolutely guaranteed verifiable best, I think this would be an excellent starting point. Next steps on a curriculum would be the survey of different types of kisses that might be enjoyed and progressing to work to figure out what it is about each of those kisses that actually makes them most effective at giving that experience. And at that point, the rest is mostly iterative pedagogical work, just refining the techniques in order to convey these methods to anyone who would want to be earning the badge. And so there is strong support from the community and from those who are interested in signing up and being part of this. Then I think that within 6 months, I think that we could have a valid certification program.
So I think at this point we're going to move on to the final question. This is a free-form open, well, not really a question, but an invitation to vent anything that needs to be vented. So you're free to speak for about 2 minutes or so, but I probably won't cut you off unless you push it to quite an extreme. And there will be no additional rebuttals. Senator Spider, any closing comments you'd like to make?
Certainly. At first, thank you all again, honored senators, for attending. And thank you, Loki. And thank you to all of SF-Zero who've inspired all of us throughout the years. I think we've talked about a lot of very exciting possibilities that I'd like to further explore. For example, all of the ideas for the new era, the plans for the rescue of Toys R Us Drive, perhaps a welcoming committee for new players, bringing back the newspaper, the newsletter, or the dispatch challenge. And that as senators, I think it's important for us to think about what we can actually do in order to make these things happen. That so far we've talked a lot about what we want, and I think at this point we need to move forward, you know, certainly in committee, to actually hammer out the details about how to make this happen. That SF-Zero, and I think the senatorial position in particular, is about figuring out how we can actually do things to make the site better, not just ideas. And so, as one final comment to, I guess, the SF-Zero community at large, I think the other thing that I've really been encouraged by in our discussion is the thought about what it is that SF-Zero means to all of us. So I would encourage everyone to think about essentially what are the best things that you've seen on SF-Zero, the tasks that make you feel inspired, that make you feel excited. And to remember something that Pixie in particular said, which is that, you know, by taking it to the limit, by stretching yourself, you can learn new things about yourself, things you might never have expected. There are a lot of things that I love about SF-Zero. I've seen it be not just a place for incredible new ideas, but also an opportunity for incredible personal change and growth. So I encourage everyone listening to think about the amazing potential that SF-Zero allows and not be afraid to reach for it. Thank you.